Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, where we engage in lively and thoughtful conversations with professionals in the nonprofit world. I'm Margaret Katz-Kann, and I'm here with my colleague, Janice Cunning.
Hi, Margaret.
And we have a guest today who I'm excited to talk with. His name is Mark Cowell, and he represents, as the executive director, the Our Center in Longmont, Colorado, which is a family resource center. And welcome, Mark. It's nice to have you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited, nervous to be here all at the same time. I've never done a podcast, but I think this might be the final thing that drags me into the 21st century. So I'm looking forward to it.
I love it. Awesome.
Well, just a secret, Mark, before we started this podcast, I don't think any of us had ever even been on a podcast. So there you go.
There's always got to be a first, right? So this is it for me. So
yeah. And I was a guest first on this podcast, and I show up, you know, dressed from the gym or however I'm normally dressed, and learned that it was actually back then not strictly a podcast, but we used a little clip and I had to run upstairs and change. So far you're smoother. You're smoother than I was as a guest.
All right, fingers crossed we keep going on that trajectory.
Yeah. So unlike some of our guests, we tend to talk and get lots of brilliance from various sort of consultants and leaders and people who work in very big organizations. Mark is a much more frontline service organization. And I asked Mark to write a blog because I wanted to see what he's seeing. I feel like we have a lot to learn from folks who are sort of right in the vanguard of the community and dealing with, you know, some of the families who need the most help. And yeah. So Mark, tell us a little bit about what you're seeing and what's going on at the Our Center.
Sure. So as you were saying, we're a family resource center. We serve the St. Vrain Valley School District area. For those who aren't familiar with Colorado, basically that's Longmont, Colorado, which is just a little bit north of Denver. And a lot of work that we do is resource and referral. We work with families who, you know, maybe hit a bump in the road and are struggling to get to the other side, whether it's a divorce, a loss of a job, an accident, that kind of thing. And we also work with families who are working to get their way out of generational poverty. So before the pandemic, you know, things were humming. There was a lot of individuals in the family, or a lot of families and households in the community that we were working with. Typically, we would provide supports to approximately 15 to 16,000 individuals every year. And then just 8 months into my role here, the pandemic hit and everything got turned upside down. And all of a sudden we went from, you know, like I said, 15,000 or so individuals we supported close to 20,000. And that seemed to happen almost overnight. You know, everything's shutting down. A lot of families were not in a position where they could work from home. You know, if their child couldn't go to school, they didn't have grandma, grandpa, aunt and uncle, neighbors close by that they could call upon to have their child stay home while everything went to remote learning. A lot of families had to lose an income. A lot of households, one or both members were furloughed, and they did not have that income. Some jobs just went away altogether. A lot of families and households we work with are in the retail industry or in the entertainment industry. And of course, when the lockdowns happened, that all just disappeared and a lot of it hasn't recovered. So for about two and a half years, we were nonstop. We saw well over a 350% increase in the needs for our services. So our team was working double time and basically crisis response mode. And it's real difficult to, you know, operate at that level and sustain it for that long. And this team was able to do that, which is a lot of credit to them. And then as we started to see, you know, the pandemic starting to wane a little bit and things seemed to look like, hey, we may get back to some sort of sense of normalcy again, inflation and the economy started to happen. And literally in the past 2 months, we're getting right back to the level that we were. And I'm actually a little fearful that it's going to be worse than the pandemic because housing in Boulder County is going through the roof. you know, middle-class individuals and families can't afford to live here anymore, and we're seeing them leave the community. The cost of gas is the highest I've ever seen it in my life, which then affects everything else. So it feels like when we just started to think we were going to be able to take a little bit of a breath, it is ramping up extremely fast again. So we're kind of buckling up again. You know, hopefully the things that we learned through the pandemic, we can apply through what I'm calling the inflation crisis. You know, this could be 6 months, a year, 2 years, who knows, but you know, we're going to do our absolute best to weather this storm as well and do everything that we can to support our community and help them, you know, stay in their homes, not have to make difficult decisions between prescriptions and food on the table. You know, my child's, you know, their clubs and the sports and the things they participate in are gas in the car. So we're going to do everything we can to continue to march forward and support this community, however long that may take.
Yeah. And, you know, I was really struck, Mark, you wrote, you know, a blog post for us about, called it Leading Through Relentless Times, which I think that word relentless is really key. But also maybe you alluded to it, but what's been the impact on the team and you, you know, because I think, like Margaret said, a lot of our listeners have had a different experience, you know, fundraising through the pandemic, but really, you made a point, like suddenly you were first responders. So what has that been like for you as the leader to watch your team go through that?
Yeah, you know, and we didn't look at ourselves like first responders, but quickly we started to realize, you know, we are first responders, that, you know, as the community closed down, we were an essential service that was on the front lines of helping families, just like if there was a fire or a natural disaster. And I think initially there was kind of like this quote unquote adrenaline rush. You know, this is what our team is built for. This is what our team wants to do. It wants to help the community. And the community was amazing in coming to us and giving us so many resources that, you know, we didn't have to turn anyone away. So, you know, on the one side of it, we saw this incredible rush of support, monetary, food, et cetera, that came into our building, that our team then was like, oh my gosh, we've got all the resources we need to help everyone, which isn't always the case, right? I mean, oftentimes we have limited resources and the needs exceed what we have the ability to provide. But there was this opportunity of going out there and helping the community and having everything that we need to do that. And then as that year went on, 2020, you know, you could start to slowly see the wear and tear on the team. And to be honest with you, you know, I wasn't noticing myself because I was trying to focus more on the team and bringing in, you know, the resources to keep them going and make sure that they could help the community. But it started to dawn on me really in November. You know, we have the same policy as everyone else. You can only carry over so much PTO, you use it or lose it. And I started looking at PTO balances going, no one's taking vacation, including myself. And in the end, you know, a lot of people, almost everyone here had to kind of give up PTO at the end of the year. And as I talked to the team, you know, a lot of it came down to feeling like we can't take a break. If we're not here, we're letting down the community. They need us. I mean, every team member was booked solid from start of the day to the end of the day, Monday through Friday. We could have kept going. They also felt like they were going to let down their team, that if their team was in the trenches and doing the battle, I can't take a day off. I have to be here with them. So as we got through the holidays, we came out into 2021, and basically there was kind of this renewed, guys, you need to take time off. I need to take time off. And it's okay to think of yourself a little bit, because if you don't take care of yourself, you can't help others. So, you know, it's all to that Freudian, you know, pyramid of, if you don't take care of your basic needs, you can't help others find ways to take care of theirs. So we had a renewed commitment towards, you know, take time off. It's okay. You're not letting anyone down internally or externally. And then that kind of led into, what other things can we be doing to support the team? You know, I've always had the philosophy over time of, you know, we need to take care of our staff so they can do the best job possible. You know, I'll always be the first person to deflect success to my team because they make me look good. So as long as I take care of them, they're going to make the organization look good by taking care of the mission and doing the best possible work. So, you know, we've done a lot of work to just do little things and bigger things to support the staff here and support the teams. And I think that's helped kind of create an ebb and a flow. I mean, there's still difficult times that we're seeing even to this day, where you can see that team members are wearing down, but I think we're a lot more conscientious of saying, you know, hey, so-and-so, you look a little tired. Have you taken some time off? Do you need some time off? What do you need from us? What do you need to do for yourself? So we've also been a little bit more reflective with each other in regards to, hey, you need a little bit of time. Do you need something? It's okay. And I think as a result, we've had a lot more resiliency. And you know, I've been very fortunate that our team has been pretty static, at least the last 18 months of this pandemic. Early on, we lost several people, and I think we just burned them out really quick. But I think we've learned ways to help people recharge and help people find a good work-life balance and help people shed the secondary trauma that they've had to carry with them during this pandemic and now the crisis with the inflation, that we're building a lot more resiliency with our team for longer term success of our mission.
It's a fascinating, I mean, I always think of, you know, leadership through relentless is the leader saying, come on, you guys, we've got this, you know, let's just keep going another week, another month. And that doesn't sound like that's been your experience at all. It sounds like almost the opposite, where you have a group of really giant hearted people who actually don't want to slow down, you know, so it's putting you in a very different need for a different voice as a leader, yeah. It sounds like.
Yeah, I think early on, I was kind of that cheerleader because, you know, originally it was 2 weeks and it was like a month or two. So it was like, keep going, guys, we can get through this. We're going to be good. And then as we started to realize, no, there's no end in sight. You know, it had to change from cheerleader mode to, you know, supporting each other and helping each other support themselves and each other. It couldn't just come externally or from me. And, you know, as we made that adjustment together, I think it's kind of becoming ingrained or etched into our culture now. And my goal is we, whatever this next crisis is, once we get to the other side, I'm hoping this is ingrained in our culture long-term because it's benefited us tremendously.
Yeah. I was really struck by one of the things you sort of offer in the blog is like five lessons that you learned. And one of them was really about as a leader of the team, like how to think about what might recharge people, you know, and you sort of said, like, for some people, I mean, the most obvious is obviously having a break, you know, but then you also mentioned like flexibility and then acknowledging people. So talk a little bit more about how as a leader you figured out who needed what and how you sort of were able to be, you know, creative in like offering those different things that could help refresh them.
Yeah. You know, it all started with just conversations, you know, sitting down with the leadership team saying, okay, we need to lead by example. So, you know, what are things that you all need? And then what are things that you're seeing that your team needs? And that was kind of the jumping off point for us, was just starting the conversation amongst our leadership team, because if our leadership team didn't believe in that, and they did, but I think we just had to put it out there that, hey, we need to really support our teams. Our teams is what makes the mission happen. So how are we going to do that? What does that look like? And what does it look like for you? Because I know a lot of my leadership team is just like me, that they'll kind of forget about themselves and focus on everyone else. And again, if you're not taking care of yourself, you can't support others. So part of it was just the acknowledgement of, let's look at ourselves first, so then we can help the rest of our team. And then, you know, it really, there's no big secret to it all. It was just sitting down with the teams and saying, what do you need? We're here to support you. And I think just hearing the, we're here to support you, you know, we're not just focused on the outcomes, and that you're very important to us achieving those outcomes, just open up the floodgates to having those discussions and conversations. And then that's where you listen, right? It's not just lip service of we're asking you and then we forget about the conversation. It's we hear you and we want you to see actions following behind that. So, you know, things from, being more flexible with, time in and out where we can, allowing the team to work remotely when possible, whenever they can, being, really flexible that if their child has something coming up, yes, go take care of that. And, the biggest piece to doing all this, I think, is trust. Right? You have to trust that your team and your staff aren't taking advantage of you or the organization. Yes, there may always be someone out there who does that, but you can't quote unquote punish everyone else because there might be a bad apple out there. And that, early in my career, it was like policies were put in place because one person messed it all up. And then that policy ruined it for everyone else. And, we really talked about, guys, we're going to trust our team. And if they say they need this, don't put them through the ringer. Say, okay, great. What do you need? Let's make this happen. Go for it. And if we start to see trends, then we can address those. But really, I think maybe in only one case over the past two and a half years did it become problematic. So everyone else benefited from that trust. And then, we just started creating multiple ways that, either groups or individuals could recharge, find that resiliency and move forward. And it's still an evolving process. We're still having those discussions today.
Mark, I'm sort of curious, what were some of just a couple of examples of things that maybe surprised you that team members asked for to recharge or?
One that was interesting and we haven't fully signed off on it yet because we're still trying to figure out how it'd work. But again, to the individuality of every single individual, a suggestion came up of, can we give everyone a stipend that they could spend on something that they could put in their office that would be a de-stressor? It could be a water fountain. For me, I love the sound of water. And if I put something in here that kind of gave that effect, I could probably forget about my work for a little while. A digital photo frame that could be rotating photos through, it was just an interesting concept that I never heard before. It's like, hey, would the organization be willing to give X amount of dollars that I could put something in my office that could be just that quick de-stressor, that quick take a deep breath and forget about that meeting I just had, or just give me the opportunity to relax. So that was one thing. And then to a bigger scale of that is right now we're working on and we're finalizing with an interior decorator. We have a seldom used conference room that actually became a storage unit. And all of our offices here have windows in them in the doors. So you really don't have a lot of privacy. And with our team, they hear a lot of difficult stories all day long. And there's a lot of secondary trauma that gets stuck to the individual, whether they realize it or not. And, sometimes our team comes out of a meeting and they're just drained. And sometimes they've got to shed a couple tears or maybe yell a couple obscenities, something to release that stress, but we don't have a place to do that. So we're creating this room and they've sat down with an interior designer for 3 or 4 meetings now where there's going to be this space that you can go in and close the door. And if the door is closed, it means it's occupied. Please honor that privacy. And whatever you need to do to reset, if it's cry, if it's yell, if it's just, I need a quiet place where no one can look in at me, whatever it is, they've designed the space that we're going to finalize. And then we're going to invest the money to create that atmosphere that they want, where they can either go in by themselves, or if they want to pull a coworker and say, hey, I just had a tough meeting, can we talk, and give them a place that they can do that. So I'm really excited for that. And the team is too. And it's been fun to watch them just create this space because they've came up with things that I would never have thought of.
It would definitely need some sort of fuzzy beanbag or something.
There are these beanbag type chairs in there. So yes.
Yeah, sometimes like sometimes you just want to stare off into space, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And but I was just thinking as you were saying that, it's the space, but it's so much more because it's really permission, it's saying it's okay, right? And it's one thing to say it's okay to say a few swear words or shed a few tears, but if you don't actually have a safe place to do that, then people are going to say, well, it's not, right? And hopefully your leadership team will go in there quite often, because I think that's the other key thing, right? Is to, for you, I mean, you yourself, Mark, to make sure that people see you going in there to have your time too. So, yeah, That's cool.
Definitely.
Yeah. You're sort of naming something I think that is very much in the space in the nonprofit world, which is, you know, and it sounds like you're trying to stay ahead of it, but this idea of burnout, you know, this idea of it's a hard job some days, right? You know, no matter what level you're at or who your clients are, you know, there's a lot of suffering out there right now. Is that sort of a word that you guys use? Do you talk about that or like in a specific way, or you just sort of understand it as a energetic thing?
With the burnout piece?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, with the burnout, we're very focused on that. Again, you know, I know I've mentioned secondary trauma multiple times, and that is very real for our team. And, you know, our team, like I think Margaret, you said this at the very beginning, they have big hearts and they truly do. They want to help others, but there's a toll that comes with that as well. And so we've been very mindful to, you know, figure out ways to take that negative energy and move it out as quickly as we can and help individuals come back with positive energy and refill those cups. And at the same time, we also understand that not just the burnout piece, but it's becoming a challenge for our organization. And I know other nonprofits that, you know, other businesses have had to raise their wages. And as the price of everything goes up, it's a challenge for us to continue to be competitive just with the public sphere out there in the business world. You know, as much as a lot of our team wants to continue to do this work because they're passionate about helping others, they also have bills to pay. So we can only do so much in regards to pay increases and staying competitive in the job market. So for us, this is also a matter of, can we give other things that maybe the business world can't give an employee? You know, we have the opportunity to give you this safe space where you can process and you can do things. You know, we're looking at, you know, more and more nonprofits are doing this. We're going to add a sabbatical program because oftentimes we want to incentivize people to come aboard, but we forget to, you know, say thank you to those who've been with us for a long time. And so this is a way for us to say, I've got one staff person who's been here over 20 years and another one 10. And just to be able to say, thank you. And I want you to go pursue something that's non-work related. I'm going to give you 4 weeks paid time and go do that and then come back recharged. And no strings to that. Just go do it. Thank you for being here for so long. So part of it, too, is just trying to include things that we can do that maybe other businesses or, you know, out in the workforce can't, that will be rewarding enough or valuable enough that goes above and beyond money that we can continue to attract and keep, you know, the great staff that we have here. So, you know, a lot of it is around the burnout, but a lot of it's just also to stay competitive with what's happening around us in the workforce.
Yeah, it's amazing how I think sometimes we forget just being appreciated, being acknowledged, you know, it's worth a lot, right? It's sort of, again, it's like the sabbatical is a beautiful thing, but it's more a representation of that deep appreciation, you know, for the commitment that people are making to the organization.
So. Yeah. And we always try to, you know, we don't want to put a lot of stipulations on it because then it feels like it's more of a chore. We just want to say, here and do this and put very few strings to it. So that's part of been our approach as well, as, you know, kind of like the trusting thing. We trust you. We don't need to ask a million questions. You don't need to fill out 10 forms. Go do it. And thank you for everything you've done. Now go. And so we've really tried hard to not put a lot of strings and make it as easy as possible for people to access, you know, these different things that we're doing to try to help our staff stay energized and feeling good about what they're doing.
Yeah. When you wake up in the morning and one of the, again, that word relentless, you know, there's COVID and now there's this whole new crisis to deal with, and the, you know, especially hitting your families the hardest. What do you say to yourself, Mark? How do you get yourself out of bed some mornings?
That's a good question. Cause, you know, I can't act like a superhero and act like it's easy all the time. You know, I'm still, as Margaret knows, her and I meet often and just chit chat. And, you know, oftentimes it's hard for me to you know, put myself first. You know, I'm already, when I get up, I'm already thinking about, okay, what do we need to do? What needs to get done? How do I position the center to continue to meet its mission moving forward? So, you know, oftentimes it's just me getting up and saying, got another day at work, let's get it done. But at the same time, you know, I have forced myself to add other things back into my life that I enjoy. You know, Margaret knows I'm a high school baseball coach, and I took a couple of years off from that, and I returned this year. And actually, you know, at first I thought, well, this is going to be an added chore. We'll see how this goes. But, you know, how quickly I remembered that 2 or 3 hours on the diamond was like, I forgot about work and I just did what I love to do. And so that's been a good reminder that as much as I can get focused, and I do focus on what needs to happen here, that it shouldn't be, and it isn't an extra chore to take a few days off and, you know, go to the mountains with my wife and my dogs, or, you know, go head out of state to see my kid, or just take a day off and do whatever I want to do. So, you know, oftentimes I do have to remind myself of, it's not extra work. You can take time off. And I'm always glad when I do that. So, I think it's just a matter of remembering every once in a while and recognizing it's time. It's time to take a day off. And sometimes my team will look at me and say, is everything okay with you today? And that's like usually my cue of, okay, maybe I need to take a day off, because my usual jovial, positive personality has disappeared. That's so nice
they don't come up to you and say, you look awful. Go home.
They may do that, but they're laughing too. So, but yeah, usually that's a really good key for me, either at home or at work. If I get that, is everything okay? Are you doing good? That's my first indicator of, I probably need to take some time for myself. I haven't done that as well as I should. So I oftentimes rely on external cues, which isn't the best, but I am very cognizant of when those cues happen, I probably should take that seriously.
Yeah, I think it speaks to, like, you know, trust has come up a few times, but also your team, they're not willing to say that to you unless there is an atmosphere of trust in your organization, you know. And I think it's, you know, like Margaret and I, we coach a lot of leaders, and yeah, that's I think it's one of the big roles as a coach over the past few years is to be like, okay, this is your hour, you know, like, right. How are you feeling? How are you doing? Because of course, you know, people in the nonprofit sector, it attracts a certain kind of person, and they're worried about their organization, the people their organization serves, their team, you know? And so I think for many of us, yeah, you need someone to be like, but how are you? What are you doing for yourself? Like, how are you recharging yourself? So it's, you know, I think, Mark, I'll celebrate that, like you said, when you get those messages, you take them to heart and you do something about them.
Yeah.
And I think Margaret can probably say, she's told me many times, what do you think about this? What are you going to do? So yeah, she's been that for me for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So Mark, we love to leave our listeners with something for them to try, something, you know, that you've learned and want to suggest or challenge our listeners with. So what might that be?
Yeah, I think, you know, as we look back and as we look forward to maybe some of the challenges that are pending on the horizon out there, I think it's really easy to fall into the negativity. It's really easy to think about what went wrong, how challenging things were, how difficult things look moving into the future. But one thing that I've learned is looking back at the successes and celebrating what we did do well and what we've learned and what I've learned. And, you know, for me, the past 2 years, I've been able to reaffirm a lot of what I do as a leader and what I believe. You know, there was several times that, you know, I fell off the horse and, you know, I stopped being collaborative and I just took things on myself, not because I didn't trust people, but because, you know, I didn't want to put an extra burden on them. And then, you know, with a little course correction, I got back on the horse and realized, yeah, these guys, this is the absolute wrong time to hold everything close to the vest. And your team wants to help. And yes, they are very busy, but this is what they want to do. And it's like, okay, yeah, get back to being collaborative, get back to doing the things that you know work, and even just taking that and improving it. So I think for me, the past 2 years has been very much a growth period, and it hasn't all been negative. And I think we get sometimes trapped looking into the negative of what was. And I think there's been so much good that's come out of it. And you know, I would just challenge people to go back and find all the celebrations and successes that have happened, because I think there's been a ton of them. And unfortunately, they've gotten buried with all the negativity and just all the crud that's come with the past 2 years. But there's so much to celebrate and say, that was awesome. And that's what we're trying to hold on to help us get through what's about to, what we think is coming in the next couple of years. So that's what I would throw out there is look for the successes and how can you take those and move forward into a stronger direction and a stronger future.
Good. I love that, Mark. Sending people away with the challenge to collaborate more and to celebrate even during hard times. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
This podcast is brought to you by Fundraising Leadership. We provide unique coaching and training programs that powerfully transform how you work in order to get results. Please subscribe. If you haven't already, you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. If you are enjoying the show, you can help us continue to bring thoughtful content with a monthly or annual contribution. This supports our production costs and keeps the show ad-free. Please make a contribution today using the link in the show notes. Now, go put it into practice. Yeah.